You're listening to Shalise's podcast.
Well, I'm going to pray and let's get going here. Awesome. All right. Well, Father, I thank you for this new series, Kingdom Economics. And I thank you, Father, that you are all over this topic. I thank you, Father, that this is a new day. This is a new way. Why? Because we are living in a whole new creation. And I thank you, Father, that we are sons of God. We are the bride of Christ. And I thank you, Father, that you have recreated us in Christ for good works. And Father, a part of those good works is governing the earth. It is governing wealth. It is governing the economy of heaven. And I just thank you, Father, that all authority belongs to Jesus, and Jesus said, go. And so therefore it belongs to us. I thank you that we are seated in heavenly places right this very moment. I thank you that we are interdimensional beings. And Father, you have created us to govern the earth outside of time. You have created us to govern the earth in union with you, to show up as Jesus in a Shalise suit, to show up as a Jesus in whatever our name is suit. And Father, we have authority. We have authority over the material realm. We have authority over the spiritual realm. And I thank you, Father, that our eyes are open. We are not deceived by the five physical senses. We are not deceived by the illusion of separation. Oh, no, no, no. We have stepped into our inheritance in Christ. And I thank you that we are living and moving and having our being inside of him. And as a result, Father, we can see the unseen. We can govern from a position of it's already finished. And so, Father, I just pray that as we hop into this series, Father, I thank you for a supernatural shift in people's hearts and minds. I thank you for signs and wonders that are going to follow this broadcast. I thank you, Father, for marketplace miracles. I thank you for provisional miracles, Father. I thank you for a complete different perspective, Father, on the spirit of mammon and you being our singular source. And so I just bless our time together, Father. I bless this series. And I thank you, Father, that every person that is listening has ears to hear what you are saying. I thank you, Father, that every spirit of fear, every bit of unbelief is being rooted up as we progress, Father, through this series. And we just give you glory, Father. We give you permission to move how you want to move. And so I just yield my body as a living sacrifice right this very minute, Father. I give you all of my faculties. I say, think through my mind, speak through my mouth. Let it be you that is doing the talking and the teaching. And we are going to learn something together, Father. I thank you. I'm going to be even saying mysteries and things that I've never even heard before, because you're going to be the one that's teaching us. And so we call upon the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you to be in operation. And we just give you all the praise and all the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Well, awesome, you guys. I'm really excited about this series. I feel like it's just going to be filled with the fire of the Holy Ghost, and I felt like it was a right now topic. If you haven't yet listened to the Word of the Month for March, I encourage you, hop on the podcast or, you know, get into the Path to Purpose group and watch that broadcast, right? Because the Word of the Month for March is governance. And I just felt a prompting by the Holy Spirit that we needed to step into a level of governance, specifically right now in the area of economics, in the area of our finances, and in the area of supernatural provision. You know, I've been sitting with this statement, I don't know, maybe for 3 weeks, I think. But, you know, I've been teaching all year really on a quote from Einstein that says this, that you cannot solve a problem on the same level of consciousness that created it. Another way to say that is you cannot solve a problem with the same level of thinking that created it. And, you know, as I've been sitting with that quote really all year, this phrase kind of popped into my spirit. And this is the phrase, that there is a supernatural solution for every problem. And so as we kick this off and kick this new series off, I just want to tell you that you were designed to live supernaturally. And no matter what situation you find you're in, no matter what contradiction you find yourself in, no matter what problem, you know, perceived problem that you think you might have, there is a supernatural solution to it. And because you are interdimensional being by design, we need to get into the place where we are tuned into supernatural solutions and we are actually operating in union with Jesus to bring supernatural provision and supernatural solutions, frankly, to the problem of scarcity and lack in the earth. You are a governor of God's wealth, right? Because why? You live in union with Him. You are an heir of the kingdom. You are an heir of God Himself, and you are a joint heir with Jesus. And the finished work of the cross took you out of the kingdom of darkness. It took you out of the world system, and it translated you into a completely different economy. It translated you into the kingdom of God. And frankly, scarcity and lack are illegal in the kingdom, right? There is no such thing as scarcity or lack or competition or striving. None of those things exist in the kingdom. And you are have been born in this time to govern the earth with kingdom reality. And so I just wanted to step into this topic because, you guys, there is just a lot of things we are taught in the body of Christ, frankly, just about money. I know money is, you know, money makes people funny. But there is a lot of things that we are taught in the body of Christ that perpetuate the illusion of separation, specifically as it relates to our finances and to the economics of, the kingdom and the economics of the world system. So we are going to come at this thing head on. We are going to chop the head off of Mammon in this series. We are going to destroy the authority that Mammon tries to, you know, use against us in this series, and it is going to be a powerful time in the Word of God and a powerful time of revelation. So I encourage you to mark your calendars for these Tuesdays and, you know, join for every single one of these broadcasts live if you can, but definitely on the podcast. So our foundation scripture for this series comes out of 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12. And I'm going to read it now out of the Passion Translation. And here's what it says. Ooh, I feel the Holy Spirit on this topic. Okay, it says, "For we did not receive the spirit of this world system, but the Spirit of God, so that we might come to understand and experience all that grace has lavished upon us." You guys, I encourage you to take some time, obviously you don't have to do it right this second, but take some time and actually write out this scripture word for word. There is so much revelation jam-packed into this scripture. And I also encourage you to begin to meditate on this scripture and the scriptures that I'm going to be sharing over the course of this series. Why? Because we have to renew our minds to kingdom economics. We have been programmed in the world system. We have been programmed with by the spirit of Mammon, right? Which is the spirit that is running the world system to govern our lives from a place of scarcity and a place of lack. We've been taught that lack is the normal state that the earth is in, and that we have to toil and we have to strive and we have to work for a living. But this scripture tells us that we have received a completely different spirit, that we are not under the spirit of Mammon. We are not to serve Mammon. We are not here as a part of the world system. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. And the spirit that we have received is the spirit of Jesus Christ. It is the spirit of God Almighty. And God Almighty is the owner of all things. Jesus Christ is the lawful owner of all things. In fact, I just want to go over to this scripture. It's not even in my notes, but it is such a powerful scripture. And it is from Hebrews chapter 1. And I'm going to read it specifically in the Amplified Classic Version. Let's go over to Hebrews chapter 1. All right. And I'm going to pull it up in the Amplified Classic Version. And I just want you to, I'm going to read starting in verse 1, because this is just such a powerful thing. Jesus Christ is the lawful owner of all things, and He lives in you. So what does that mean about you? Okay, so let me just read this. It says in verse 1, in many separate revelations, each of which set forth a portion of the truth, and in different ways God spoke of old to our forefathers in and by the prophets. Okay, so he's talking about in the Old Testament here. It says, but in the last of these days, he has spoken to us in the person of a son, whom he appointed heir and lawful owner of all things, right? He's spoken to us through Jesus Christ, who has been appointed the heir and lawful owner of all things. It says also by and through whom he created the worlds and the reaches of space and the ages of time. He made, who, Jesus, produced, built, operated, and arranged them in order. He, Jesus Christ, is the sole expression of the glory of God, the light being, the outreign, the radiance of the divine. And he is the perfect imprint and the very image of God's nature. Listen to this, upholding and maintaining and guiding and propelling the universe by his mighty word of power. It says, when he had by offering himself accomplished our cleansing of sins and riddance of guilt, he sat down at the right hand of the divine majesty on high. All right. So this whole series is really about exalting Jesus Christ. Okay. This is about taking you out of the equation as it relates to finances. It is about taking you out of the equation as it relates to the economy. Okay. This is about what Jesus has finished, what Jesus has accomplished, and where he sits now in the place of all authority, in the place of all rule, and in the place as the lawful owner of all things. And you need to recognize that as you recognize who Jesus is and what he has accomplished, and you recognize that you are one with him, that you are actually seated in heavenly places inside of him, well, then you can begin to understand your place of governance and your place of delegated authority in the earth as the body of Christ over the material realm. And guess what? The material realm, which Jesus is upholding, which Jesus is maintaining, which Jesus is guiding, and Jesus is propelling as the cohesive substance that holds all things together, right? That as you are in him, guess what? You are in a co-governance position with him, and you are not only a part of his rulership and this upholding of all things, that you are actually you've been given dominion over the work of his hands, not independent from him, but in union with him. And so there is a massive level of authority, a massive level of governance that you have access to through your union with Jesus over the material realm, over matter, over energy, over particles, over the very fabric of reality as we know it. And as you awaken to the truth of who Jesus is, you awaken to the truth of who you are. You have never been designed by God in the new creation to be under creation. You have been designed as a new creation to govern the new creation, and that means in the area of finances as well. There is a completely different system that you and I operate in. It is a system of the kingdom of God, and it is governed by grace, and it is governed by the wealth and the wisdom and the glory of God. And you have access to this through your union with Jesus. And so one of the very big goals that I gotta say, it's a big goal, but it's a big outcome that I am trusting God to deliver to you through this series, is how the illusion of separation has caused you to come into a place of independence as it relates to money. And you guys, we have never been meant to operate independent in any area of our lives, including the area of money. I'll tell you what, the accuser has a heyday with the body of Christ, trying to get us to be good trying to be a good steward, trying to be a good manager of money apart from Christ. I mean, even we hear scriptures, I was thinking about this one this morning, right? A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. How many of us have heard sermons about that scripture and felt condemned or felt under pressure to go out and get an inheritance to leave to our children's children so that we can be a good steward, so that we can be a good man or a good woman? Well, guess what? Jesus Christ is the good man. Jesus Christ left an inheritance to his children's children, right? The inheritance is something that Jesus accomplished for us. We are the heir. We are not the source of the inheritance. We are the recipients of the inheritance. And Jesus is the good man. He was the epitome of good man, right? He is the righteousness of God. And we have become good men and women through our association with him. And we already have an inheritance. We already have been given an inheritance that's not only for us, but it's for our children's children. So when we get, I mean, that's just one example of how we have interpreted and how we have owned independence from God, and how that illusion of separation from God causes us to strive to be good. A good steward, to try to be a good manager of money, to try to be good apart from Christ. And life in the kingdom looks completely different than an independent effort to be good, to earn an inheritance. How can you earn an inheritance? By definition, inheritance cannot be earned. To earn a provision, to earn the blessing of God. We have all kinds of religious activities, religious routines, religious duties that we are, you know, that we participate in order to be a good steward. But what if your identity is a good steward, because your identity is Jesus, and Jesus is the one and only perfect steward that has ever lived? And what if stewardship is all about not managing your money, it's about managing and governing God's money in union with him? What if your identity is established? What if your identity is not only as a good steward, but what if it is already an identity of wealth? What is it? What if it's an identity of being the lawful owner of all things? What if there is an identity that identifies who you are apart from provision, apart from your works, apart from the things that you do to try to earn anything? And from that place of your identity already being established, now you are simply governing as God in union with God, not separate, not as God apart from God, right? But you are simply flowing with the Holy Spirit, operating in the wisdom that comes from above and following the leader. If Jesus said, of my own self, I can do nothing, well, this is not an opportunity for you to do something apart from God. No, this is about doing stewardship with God. This is about union. Union-based governance over the economy, the economies of the earth. And this is radical good news. This is radical gospel good news. And the gospel is radical, you guys. It's the illusion of an independent self. It is, I'm sorry, the dissolving of an independent self. It is the absolute marriage of you and God that cannot be undone. It is an eternal entanglement that puts you in the very personhood of Jesus Christ. And so our identity is everything when it comes to economics. It's everything when it comes to coming up against the system of the world and defeating and coming out of the system of the world and confronting the spirit of mammon, which is a legalistic spirit. Okay, it is a spirit that tries to get you to earn something that you already possess. It is a spirit that tries to get you to work for something that is a free gift. So we are going to dive into this thing, and we are going to expose it for what it is, and we are going to shine the light on what belongs to you in Christ, and shine the light on the sneaky ways that mammon sneaks in to try to get us to operate as orphans rather than sons. So we got a lot of ground to cover. All right. So we did not receive the spirit of this world system, but the Spirit of God, so that we might come to understand and experience all that grace has lavished upon us. So the very first thing that I want to say is that in the kingdom's economy, in the government of heaven, you've already got everything that heaven contains. All right. You already own it. You already possess it. Okay. You're not trying to get something that you already have. Let's go over to another scripture here. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 1. And let's look in the Passion Translation at, let me just come in here and pull it up. We're going to go to verse 3. Here's what it says. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm has already been lavished upon us as a love gift from our wonderful heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, all because he sees us wrapped into Christ. This is why we celebrate him with all of our hearts, okay? Now, I like this, I love the Passion Translation, but again, it uses this word lavished, right? In 1 Corinthians 2:12, it says that we might come to understand and experience all that grace has lavished upon us, right? This is a lavish kingdom. This is a lavish inheritance. It contains every blessing that of the heavenly realm, every blessing of heaven has been lavished, has already been lavished upon us in Jesus Christ. This is a reality, you guys, just as much as the kingdom of God is a reality, right? It is an invisible reality, but it is reality, and it is the governing reality of God. And it is designed to govern the material realm. And so spiritual reality trumps, right, material reality every single time. God speaks, words govern, right? God creates with words. What? Those are spiritual. Those are invisible entities, but yet they govern the material realm. Jesus Christ is called the Word, right? The Word of God, the name of God. I mean, there is real power in words. And words are the primary vehicle through which we govern material reality. Now, granted, words are spoken with the frequency of faith, with the frequency of them being God's words, not your words, inspired words. These are the words that we govern the seen realm with. Okay. But here's the truth. Everything has already been given to you. It's an already accomplished fact. All right. It was accomplished at Calvary, which frankly was accomplished before the foundation of the world from God's perspective, meaning you are an heir and you lack nothing. Lack, like separation from God, is an illusion. It is an illusion of the material realm. And we see this all throughout Jesus's life. We see him governing with words. We see him speaking peace to a storm. We see him, you know, speaking to a fig tree and it drying up at the root. We see him speaking to sickness, right? We see him acting in union with the Father and speaking words that transform the material realm. He blessed the bread and fed thousands of people with just a few fishes and some loaves, right? He was governing the material realm with words. And as governors of the kingdom economy, guess what? That is how we govern as well. We don't do it independent. We do it in our union with Jesus. So today what I wanted to do, and I don't know if I'm going to get it all done in this one episode, but I wrote down a bunch of things that compare and contrast the world system and the kingdom. Okay, now as we go into this, I want to give you one very primary difference between these two systems, because if we are going to operate in kingdom reality and govern from a place where everything has already been provided and it is all finished, then we need to understand what has been finished and how the kingdom operates, not as a set of principles that we need to adhere to, but simply an understanding of how the kingdom actually, what is the reality of the kingdom versus the reality of the world system? Why? So that we can discern it. We want to be able to discern the world system and discern kingdom reality. Why? Because we live in the kingdom. This is the reality that we live in. This is the reality that we govern from. And so we need to begin to discern the difference. One of the very big primary difference in the world system and in kingdom reality. And there, guess what? This governs health. This governs relationships. It's not just about wealth. It's not just about material things. It's not just about money, right? But it is a huge source of bondage, a huge source of fear, a huge source of deception in the life of believers. And so that's why I'm coming after it. But let's start in Matthew 6:24, right? And this is one of the biggest distinctions between the kingdoms of this world, between the world system and the kingdom of God. And let me just pull it up. I don't know why my Bible's acting so weird. I'm trying to go to Matthew. All right, 6. And we're going to go to verse 24. And this is a familiar scripture. My goodness, we've heard this in church so much, haven't we? I'm going to read it in the New King James Version because that's the one that we're most familiar with, I feel like, you know, just the straight up good old King James. But it says this: no one can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. All right. So I want you to think about the world system and mammon being very much connected and very much the same thing. All right, let me just say it this way. Mammon is more than money, okay? It is the world system's control over wealth, all right? It is the god of money, the god that uses money to cause us to serve money, all right? So in the world system, you know how that works? We serve money. But in the kingdom of God, guess what? Money serves us. So this is about source. Okay. This is about what is the source of your sustenance? What is the source of your provision, right? We all need provision to live. We have to buy food. We have to have gas. We have to have whatever, all the things, right? We live in a system that requires money. So money in and of itself, by the way, is not evil. It's not, you know what? The root of all money is the root of all evil. No, it is the love of money. It is the worship of money. It is making God the source. All right. God being making money the source, money as your source, money that you serve. Okay. It is the root of all evil. Now, that's a really, really strong scripture. That's a really strong statement. But I'm here to tell you that there is only two options here. And I said this even in the word of the month. I said, you will either be governed or you will govern. And I will tell you that is very much true about mammon, about the spirit of this world, about mammon. You will either govern the world system, you will either govern money, or you will be governed. It is by design, okay? It is absolutely, they are mutually exclusive, okay? Money itself is neutral, but it can either be a god or it can be a servant. It will either be a master or it will be a servant, meaning it can be either. It can be either. It can either be a god or it can be a servant, but it is in it, but it's neutral in the sense that in the right hands, it can be used and to serve mankind and to use in the service of God and to use to expand the kingdom and be used in union with God to bless and to exemplify the nature and the goodness and the generosity and the kindness of God, or it will be a slave master and you will serve it. I mean, this is just the bottom line of it, all right? Now, in the world system, they're completely different systems, okay? In the world system, the illusion of independence and the illusion of separation from God rules supreme. All right. So this is a demonic system. And what is the demonic system based on? It's based upon pride. And what is pride? All right. Pride isn't being arrogant, right? Pride isn't even necessarily being, falsely humble, right? And having a low opinion of yourself, right? Those are manifestations. Both are manifestations of pride, But pride is actually having an independent self. It is being an independent source. It is being a source apart from God, which is obviously a deception because there is no source but God. But it is making yourself responsible and being an independent source of provision, of responsibility, of taking care of yourself apart from God. It's nature, the nature of the world system, the nature of mammon is independence and separation from God. Okay, the nature of sonship, the nature of the kingdom is union with God. It is oneness with God. I would also tell you that the nature of the kingdom of God is having no separated self, right? There is no I apart from Christ. When the Apostle Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ in me, right? There, it's about the personal pronoun I. Who is your I? Who is your I? Is your I Christ, or is your I, whatever your name is apart from Christ, right? You have this independent self-image and this independent way of operating, or are you living as an I that is Christ and you are dependent upon God, right? Jesus was fully dependent upon the Father. He did nothing of his own self. He did not even identify with a self apart from the Father. He didn't identify with the self that was Joseph and Mary's son. He identified as the Son of God. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. There was no self apart from the Father. And he said, the Father and I are one, right? And so in the kingdom, it's a place of union and oneness. And in the world system at governing under mammon, it is a place of independence. And I'll tell you, this root of independence and this root of separation from God versus having a root of oneness and union with God lead to very different fruit. It leads to different fruit and it leads to different actions. Okay, so let's continue through my list here, right? So you serve money in the world system, completely separate and independent, okay? And in the kingdom, money serves you as a son, as an heir, as an offspring of God who lives in union with Jesus. And if we do not get the union part of this down, okay? If we do not understand union, everything we do as a Christian will come out of the deception of a false self. And it will come out of the deception of an independent I. And that deception will lead to performance. It will lead to striving. It will lead to false responsibility. It will lead to accusations. It will basically, you will be responsible for being a good man who leaves an inheritance to their children's children apart from Jesus, right? And if you do that good, and if you do that well, then God will bless you. If you are a good steward and you manage your money and you stay on a budget and you stay out of debt and you do all of these activities, depending on, what decade you're living in, what culture you're living in, but there are religious things. There is a relationship with the material realm that you have as an independent entity who is trying to gain God's favor, trying to gain salvation, trying to gain the blessing of God versus a son who already owns it, a son who is now here to live in union with God and govern it. And these are two completely different paradigms, completely different systems, and they are not to be commingled at all. They are mutually exclusive. You are either in union or you are separate, okay? You can't be partly in union. Oneness is oneness or it's apart, right? And so that is the foundation of these systems. And if we don't get our foundation straight, then what we build will be on a wrong foundation. And we know what happens when you build on a foundation that isn't Christ. A storm comes, what happens? That house is built on sand and it gets destroyed. But when you are built on Christ, it is impossible to run out, and your net worth is not based upon what your bank account or your balance sheet says, the circumstances in your life. You cannot be shaken by anything that is external to you because you are governed by a kingdom that cannot be shaken, that is inside of you. And so you can be dropped in any economy, you can be dropped in any nation on the earth, and you can govern from a place of unlimited resources. resources, because what is in the material realm is not all that you're limited to. There are no limitations to the abundance of heaven. There is no limitation to what is possible in the kingdom of God. And so very disparate, very conflicted systems, right? So they're completely different systems. Now, let's keep going. All right. In the world system, it's a system of striving. All right. It means that we are working by the sweat of our brow. We are earning our keep. We are a slave, slave to a job, slave to a system. We are a slave. But in the kingdom, we are in governance. We are not striving. We are governing. Okay. We are not earning. We've already inherited. Okay. We already have it. Okay. We're not working from a position of lack. We're working from a position of abundance. We are abundant. We are abundance. Why? Because the kingdom of God is in you. And what is the gross national product of the kingdom? How can you measure the wealth that belongs to Jesus? Not only is he the lawful owner of all things, including material things, but he owns everything, the creator, the sustainer of all. So we are now governing what already has belongs to us in Christ, belongs to Jesus, in union with Jesus, versus trying to get something or trying to earn something or strive for something that we don't have. So in and of itself, right, this is the world system is a lack-driven system. All right. And the kingdom of God is an abundance, love, sonship, union with God driven system. Okay, there is no lack in heaven. In fact, I said it earlier, lack is illegal. And lack is always an illusion. It is always a deception to our five physical senses, meaning we cannot see, we cannot taste, we cannot smell, we cannot hear, we cannot touch the resources, the limitless resources that we have in the kingdom of God. They must be spiritually discerned. They must be revealed to our spiritual senses. They must be, you must connect to the unseen realm. And guess what? You have the faculties. You have the capacity to see the unseen. Over and over again, scripture talks about these things, right? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, it says in Hebrews 11, verse 1, right? So faith is this God's faith resides in us, and God's ability is in us. Why? Because of our union with him. So as Jesus is, so are we in this world. So as Jesus operated from the abundance consciousness, from kingdom consciousness, from all things are already provided consciousness, from heaven, living out of heaven, living from heaven, living in heaven while still in a human body, is the way that the kingdom of God operates. Right? I have so many things that I could talk about. I'm running out of time here. So I don't think I'm going to have time to go through all of these things, but I will continue to go through this. I will compare and contrast the kingdom versus the world system throughout this series. All right. Now I am going to just talk about the shift because I have a few minutes left, because I don't want to wait till episode 3 or 4 to actually talk about how do we govern. I'm going to continue to expose the world system and, discuss the way the kingdom what the kingdom reality is. But here's the shift, okay? Number one, as of today, all right, we are going to shift out of striving to get something that already belongs to us. And I pray right now that when I say that the eyes of your understanding are enlightened and you know the hope of your calling, I'm going to say today that I'm declaring that the eyes of your understanding are enlightened and you know the hope of what it means to be a kingdom citizen, that you are living from heaven's reality every single day, that the eyes of your understanding see heaven's resources, discern the reality of what has been lavished upon you already in Christ. All right. So there is a shift where you are coming out of this striving and this independence from God into governance in union. All right. We are not an independent eye. Our eye is Christ. And so there is no striving in this independent, separated reality, right? No, there is only union and there is only governance, all right? The next thing that I declare that today you are gonna shift out of is seeing money as a scarce commodity, all right? Shifting out of scarcity and lack and the illusion of lack into the unlimited resource as unlimited resources and the abundance of heaven, okay? Again, what you see is not all there is. All right. And if I were you, I would just begin to read through the Gospels and see how Jesus had a supernatural solution to every problem he faced. And the solution was always the manifestation of heaven. It's why he told his disciples, you know what? As you go, preach, saying the kingdom of God is at hand, meaning the kingdom of God has arrived. All right. That's why he told them, you don't need to take anything with you, right? The kingdom of God is going to support you, right? No soldier goes to war at their own expense, right? You are living in a different reality, and you are here to announce and to proclaim that the kingdom of God is here. And then you're going to demonstrate it. You're going to heal the sick. You're going to cleanse the leper. You're going to cast out the devils. You're going to raise the dead. You are going to show what governance from the kingdom reality looks like. You're going to kick the kingdom of the prince of this world. You're going to kick out the works of the devil wherever you go. And beloved, lack is a work of the devil. Lack is a work of the kingdom of darkness. And here's the kicker, right? Not only will we, when we're in independence, think that, you know what, lack is just the reality. We operate out of scarcity, but then we'll feel guilty and we'll be accused for having those things, right? So lack shows up in your life and then you'll be accused for having lack. It's kind of like you get sick and you get a cancer diagnosis and then you blame yourself for getting cancer rather than recognizing, no, that honestly, you aren't even in the equation, right? This is Jesus versus lack. This is Jesus versus cancer. This is Jesus versus you aren't even in the equation beyond the fact that you are in Christ. So we're going to move out of that we're going to shift out of that position. We're not going to fellowship with lack or entertain accusations about lack. We are not going to see money as scarce. No, we are going to see it as an abundant resource that just comes with the kingdom of God. It is comes with just a part of who you are. It's a part of yes, your inheritance, but it's a part of who Jesus is as the lawful owner of all things, right? And then what we're going to be working on, and I say you can make this shift today, is right, we're going to detach from fear-based decision making. Okay, where we are making decisions out of fear, out of survival, out of desperation, where we are being driven by lack, we are being driven by fear, we are being driven by false responsibility, we are being driven by accusations, rather than the Spirit of God. Those that are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. No, we make Spirit-led decisions. We operate in the wisdom of God because the wisdom of God has been given to us because wisdom is Jesus. So we have access to the wisdom, and we have authority over fear. We have authority over lack. We have authority over our nervous system. And we are not going to allow lack to govern us. We are not going to allow mammon to accuse us. We are not going to be deceived by the illusion of lack. We're not going to be led by our physical senses. We're not going to be led by our bank balances. We're not going to be led by anything other than the truth of the gospel and who we are in Christ and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to lead us. It's going to show us the truth. It's going to reveal the kingdom, going to reveal the inheritance, reveal the next step. The Holy Spirit, complete dependence upon God. This is how Jesus operated. Yes, Jesus had a treasurer. Yes, you know what? He had people that financially contributed to his ministry. Heck, you know, he had the kings and the wise men come and bring him gifts. So did he have material provisions? Absolutely. But did they dictate to him his actions and his movement? No. Holy Spirit dictated to him. The Father dictated to him. He knew what he would do in the face of lack. He knew what he would do in the face of a storm. He knew what he would do when the fig tree wasn't producing fruit. And he knew it through revelation and by knowing what the Father was doing and doing what the Father was doing and saying what the Father was speaking. So we're going to detach from making fear-based, survival-based decisions, right? We're going to give, we're going to sow, we're going to spend, we're going to save, we're going to invest in faith. We're going to be led by the Holy Spirit, not out of hoarding. We're not going to save out of hoarding, out of fear. We're not going to make decisions out of self-preservation. No, we're going to make decisions in union with God, being led by the Holy Spirit. And we are going to govern, not react, right? We are going to align with Holy Spirit, not the external conditions, because external conditions, whatever's going on externally, is not designed to govern you. You are designed to govern the external, right? So when we start to feel that fear come up, or we start to recognize, you know, a nervous system reaction, we're going to recognize that this is the old programming, that this is the programming from the world system. And we are going to pause. We are going to pause. We are not going to react. And we are going to pray. And we are going to govern, first of all, ourselves. And we're going to say, I am not going to move until I hear, hey, the Spirit of God. Right? I resist this fear. I resist this accusation. And I resist coming under this. I'm not going to serve money. I'm not going to serve mammon. In fact, I'm going to rebuke that in Jesus' name. And I'm going to hear from God. I'm going to hear from God just how Jesus operated. And if that takes me all night, I need to go pray all night until I hear from God. I'm going to do what Jesus did. I'm going to operate in union with Father, and I'm going to get the strategy from God. If he says, fill up the water pots, then I'm going to fill up the water pots. If he says, go find the money in a fish's mouth, I'm going to go find the money in a fish's mouth. There is a supernatural solution to this problem, and I have access to that supernatural solution because I am one with Jesus. I've been given the Spirit of God. I have the Spirit of wisdom. I have the Holy Spirit. I'm the very home of the Holy Spirit, and I have access to the kingdom. I have access to everything that has already been provided, and the Father is going to lead me and guide me into the supernatural solution that is going to govern the external situation rather than me being governed by the external situation. So I'll end it with this, you guys, that every financial challenge, decision, and opportunity will either be governed by the world system, it will be governed by the spirit of mammon and fear and lack and scarcity, or it will be governed by the kingdom of God, in union with God, in Holy Spirit, and with the faith of God that comes when you hear from God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It comes by the rhema of God. We aren't working up faith. No, we are listening. We are listening for the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit speaks, guess what? Faith is activated. Whoa. Even that is a gift. Even that is the part of what has been lavished upon us in the kingdom of God. So obviously I could keep going. I could keep going and going on this topic probably till, you know what? Whatever, forever. There's so much meat and so much goodness in the kingdom message of it is finished. All right. And so we are going to tackle this thing over the next few episodes, and we are going to continue to learn more about kingdom economics. And we are going to square off, right, with the spirit of mammon. We're going to square up with the giant of lack, and we're going to take that thing out. We're going to take it out through union, through revelation, and through spirit-led actions. So God bless you, and we will see you soon. All right, we'll see you on the next episode. Love you much. Stay tuned. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Shalisa's podcast. This recording is, in part, made possible by our listeners. To partner with us, visit shalisa.com, where you can donate and help us spread the good news of our unshakable union with Christ around the globe. You can also find a link there to download Shalisa's book, The Path, for free. And if you're ready to discover the call of God on your life and the purpose He created you for, then visit us at shalisa.com and watch Shalisa's free training, where you'll hear 5 keys to hearing God about your life purpose and transitioning into it. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, don't forget, the world needs the Christ in you.